for tapes of End Time Meetings, Deliverance Services, or Lake Hamilton Bible Campground's publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory Declaring the Kingdom, write Post Office Box 21516, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas, zip 71903.
For tapes, CDs, DVDs, to our publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.
Saturday morning, February the 19th, 2005. Ninth Annual Ladies Conference being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Gene Fisher of Pasadena, Texas is the minister on this.
We will turn the rest of the afternoon, that is her part, over to Polly Buchanan from Rockport, Texas, and she'll come and minister, and then we'll take a break, and Gene will come back and finish off this afternoon.
I don't like to be recorded, and Glenn, he won't go along with me not being recorded, and so he might have to. No, I did not ask God for anything like that. I had no idea that I would have gentlemen, handsome gentlemen, in the audience here today. I was telling the girls last night, now that's intimidating. That's intimidating at a women's retreat. I've been to women's retreat. Maybe some of you have known of Ron Mill, that we had like for 3 years in a row, we had him be our speaker, but I've never spoke at a retreat where the gentlemen were present. So I don't have any plans to embarrass anybody, but, you know, hopefully they won't be embarrassed at all by anything I do. I know my husband would be. The brother said, Gene's husband said that he would enjoy hearing me speak about women submitting to their husbands. And I said, well, I don't speak on that. In fact, when I was younger in my, quote, rebellious days, I taught them just the opposite. I would say, now, a girl would come and she would say, I want to go to the retreat, but I don't know if my husband will allow me. I said, you didn't ask him, did you? She said, not yet, but I've got to ask him. I said, no, you don't ask him. We'll pretend she's the husband. Honey, I'm planning on a retreat next weekend, you little darling. And I know that you'll work it out with all the children. And I'll need $50, okay? The scriptures back me up. You're supposed to be wise as a serpent and harmless as a... Or there's a president said, there I am. The president said, you know, speak softly, but carry a big stick. And I learned early on how to carry a big stick. All right, now we're ready. So you better hold, in there real close, because if she's in submission, she might not be when she leaves there. Oh, dear. The embarrassing stuff is what, you know, we might do. All right. I'm going to just introduce myself, and I'll stand over here, and my name is Polly Buchanan, and I'm going to tell you just a little bit about me. I was born into a family. I was born in North Carolina into a family who loved and adored me. I felt my daddy had to be the most handsome man that was ever born. I adored him. Mother was beautiful. I adored her. I especially liked it when she put on this one blue dress. and braided her long black hair and twirled it up on top of her head. Oh, us children, we just thought there was nobody like Mama. Mama was a God-fearing woman who taught us about Christ, and my grandma, we called her Mammy. She was a famous midwife in North Carolina, and she delivered babies when the Ku Klux Klan came to burn her out. Wanted to know if she delivered babies up in the hills to the black women. She said, "I don't know. I was in the hills last night, but it was so black that I just have no idea whose babies I delivered, you see. There's no light up there last night. And if you're going to burn me out, get it over with and burn her down." I come from a long line of heritage. I have four sisters. I had two brothers who died before I was born. And then I have four sisters who love and adore me. Spoiled me rotten, and every time they tell people how spoiled rotten I am, I tell them, "You're the ones who spoil me, so that's good, right?" And then I met the love of my life as I was growing up, and married Ben, as I said, the most perfect man on the face of the earth, best preacher. He's a man of God. He loves God. I have five beautiful children. They all serve the Lord. All my son-in-laws and my daughter-in-law are Christian and spirit-filled. All my 26 grandchildren, 25 with 26 on the way. I have two in heaven, so that makes it actually 29. Love the Lord, serve the Lord. They're prophetic. They all play instruments that are big enough. Even the babies, Papa's handing them instruments to make sure they play the instruments. I've been in every state in the Union. South America, Mexico, Canada, the Bahamas, Haiti, and a few more that I can't remember. Mm-hmm. I have preached to women ever since I've been born again. I have been the nursery teacher, the teenage teacher, the CE director. I am Ben's right hand, and I preach the gospel. I'm not bashful or ashamed to tell the people I work at Walmart. See, now there's a mark for me, is there? That, right there. The American way. To attain to the greeter at Walmart. No, I'm not the greeter. I'm the shoe lady. And you know how Jesus knows how to humble us. You bow down and fit their feet on there. If I can't wash their feet, I'll put the shoes on. Meet me. I never smoked a cigarette, never drank alcohol, I never got drunk. I have tasted it. Never took a drug. Did you meet Polly Buchanan, Miss Perfect, there? Now I'm going to go. I could think of a few more things, but, you know. Hi, I'm Polly Buchanan. Now, this is the hard part, okay, to introduce this woman. I was born in North Carolina on a little place called Allen's Creek, in the hills, in the mountains of North Carolina. I was a hillbilly, Tar Heel hillbilly, who could not speak good English. I was born in abject poverty to an alcoholic daddy. He moved us to Washington State to become a logger when I was four. To a logging community who knew how to drink alcohol. Alcohol was the drug of choice. And this beloved daddy, well, there was some things happened to me there as a child that I don't speak about. They were horrible and horrific, and you don't need to know about them. And I've ever since they happened, me and God, we talk those things over, and they stay with him. So you don't need to know about those. You'd probably cry, and I would too, so that's me and God's the only two people that's ever known about it, so me and God's the only two that's ever going to know about it. So then my beloved daddy, he died in a violent death when I was 15. That summer, I met Ben Buchanan, a long line of alcoholics. And I married him at 16. I had four babies by the time I was 21. My mama became schizophrenic, and She was on and off, out of her mind. There were times, I called them her crazy times, that she was, in the beginning there, she was herself some of the time. As it, she grew older, she wasn't herself. And then first 2 years of that marriage was pretty good. I had my first baby, and me and Ben were fairly happy, as two teenagers know how to be happy. And but then what I call that period of my life was when hell was in session. And that lasted 4 to 5 years. And when I speak to ladies' retreats and minister one-on-one and things like that to the young, I tell them, don't go to hell. I've been there, and you don't want to go there. I'm never going back to hell. Not on this earth, and not after, in the afterlife. God gave this little girl just enough touch of hell that she's not interested in hell anymore. And so then my husband decided, that alcohol would just totally destroy our lives. And then things just went from bad to worse. And I had a few nervous breakdowns during that time. Then he got saved. Yep. He just walked up in a little old Pentecostal church called The Lighthouse and bowed down, and he didn't even know what he had did. And Luke said, I think Ben got saved. Ben said, sounds good. Maybe that's what happened. But then from that day on, there was nothing ever for him but to preach the gospel. We were too young and ignorant to know anything of how to preach the gospel, but we was going to preach it anyway. After a few years, Ben got mad at God because God wasn't providing for him exactly the way he wanted him to, so he up and backslid. Let me think. I had all kind of things wrong with me. My adrenal glands failed. I was so anemic that some days there was no getting out of bed with four babies. I'd go to sleep if I sat down. It was severe. I had a skin disease that took a miracle for me not to be dead. Just so on and so forth. I had a fifth baby, 8 years. She was a miracle. God gave a miracle, spoke and told Ben he would bless him and gave me a miracle baby. And then as my children began to grow up, my son, he decided to, keep his mother scared to death at all times. He loved horses and he loved motorcycles. And then Carrie, my Carrie, she has 9 children. Well, on the first one went real well. And the second one, she just about died after the baby was born. She was so close to death, it scared me. It took me about 10 years to get over being scared. But she had already did this thing she calls submission to God. So she has 9 babies. And every last one of them is a threat to her life for her to be on this earth. My son, he lives in Holland. And so Carrie, she decided to take her babies and go to Haiti and be a missionary there. And that's the other Polly Buchanan. You see, especially the young, all the rest of us, like Carlin, those that are older than I am that are here, we know all about that. You young, now, you're deceived. I can testify to the Lord with the best of them. I've had miracles, and I've seen great miracles. I was telling Glenn of a great miracle that my mother's husband, Jack, received when God totally rid his body of cancer. The hips were so eaten up that he had no hip bones, so he couldn't stand up when he accepted Christ and God took that cancer out. I can really testify of the miracles in my own body. I can do that. But then, sometimes the young, they get deceived. They say, oh my, well, I'd never be like her. I could never, do what she does. I could never. travel and do all those wonderful things. Well, so I just thought I'd introduce both ladies to you so you would know as I begin to minister on what I feel that the Lord would want me to minister to you. Put that one over there for a minute. There are things in our lives that go on. They take more time than others. What we want is like my mom's husband, Jack. I've never called him my stepdad. He never was. I was a grown woman when she married him. I had my beloved dad, and I've never had another dad, so my children all call Jack their grandpa, and that's good with me, but he, you know, it never seemed comfortable to me nor to him. And that's the miracles we want. In an instant, in a second, the twinkle of an eye, and my problem is gone. Mm-hmm. It out the window, and I'm all right. But then there are some of us who have got a fight on our hands. Now, if you're truthful, you know that the biggest portion of the time, and even in this book, you know, this covered a lot of years. Not one day the sun stood still, and the next day the sea roll back or whatever, you know. It wasn't this afternoon one miracle and in the morning another. It was over a period of time. And so what do we do in the meantime? All right. In Genesis chapter 1, where it all began. Then God said, that's verse 26. Then God said, let us make man in our image according to our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the air and over the cattle and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth, and subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves on the earth. Does that sound like authority to you? That sounds like authority. Well, then let's see. What happened in between? Let me make man in my image. Then I'm just going to read one to you. If you're taking notes, it's Galatians 5, starting at 16. I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. You know this one by heart. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. These are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Then, we'll come back to that. It tells the works of the flesh. And I hope that what I'll do here is, during this time, I'll try to pick a jumping off spot and stop, because in the evening I will continue with this, that I can give you a lifelong answer to being delivered and staying delivered and being someone who delivers others. Now, I told a sister when Carla was talking about judgmentalness, boy, and she's, you know, just hammering us there. Little arrows going in there. It's sort of, judgmentalness is sort of like keeping house. If you don't keep up with it every day, you're in trouble. Mm-hmm. It'll pile up on you, and then you got some work to do. Well, it's the way it is with everything. You were made in the image of God. You were created in His likeness. Now, I only have one. Teresa, they say, looks like me. But her daughter, Kara, looks like me and my side of the family. Her likeness, though, is like her papa. She has this nature like him. And so if I look in the mirror, there's my image. I look like my daddy. They tell me that my personality is like him. And so I was birthed in the image and in the likeness of Sam McNabb. And God said, let us make man in our image and in our likeness. Now, Satan said, I will ascend and I will be God. I'll be like God. Now, that was not what God had in mind. But He does have in mind that we are like Him. And when you use the word like, you have got to discern what he's talking about. It's like my daddy. My daddy wanted me to be like my mother, not him. He would say, he called me babe. I was the baby of the family. Babe, now you don't be like me. Your mother, she's a lady. I want you to be like her. And so therefore, he was out of the mountains of North Carolina, and everybody knows, like Carla told us last night, that everybody believes in Christ there. They say, do you believe in Christ? What's wrong with you, honey? Of course I believe in Christ. You think I'm a heathen? Now, he may just have got drunk last night and beat his wife, you know. But so all of the women and children were required to be in church on Sunday. The women and the children were required to pray at the prayer meetings. So I was in every prayer meeting with them big busted grandmas. Yeah. And they get a hold of you and they hold you there. Every one of them, didn't miss a one of them, because that's what the ladies and the children did. And so Daddy's going to see to it we were like Mama, because Mama was the lady. It's not working again. It's not working again, Glenn. Let me see if I can jiggle it here. I don't know what's going on there. Now is it working? We're back. We're back. And we are made in the image and in the likeness of God. Okay. Now, for you to get delivered and stay delivered, you're going to have to find out what this God is like, that you are made like. And to have this dominion that he's speaking of here, where you can be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it and have dominion and rule and reign, if you're going to do it in his image and in his likeness, you're going to have to know something about him. Now, that takes time. I've been married to Ben 44 years now, and I know him. But he still surprises me every day, you know. There's something new every day. And so this is not, my friend Rhonda said to me, how long is this going to take? I said, what else do you have to do? This is going to take eternity. You say, how long is it going to take me to get delivered of this? Well, maybe the rest of your life. What else you got to do? You don't have anything else to do. You know, the young ones will say to me, I have a job to work on and I have a family. Well, everybody has that. Goodness sakes. We're not talking about that. We're talking about your spiritual life here. How long is it going to take you to get to know God? Well, eternity. So just don't think you're going to flip the book open and know him tomorrow, okay? He is too complex. How can man know God? He is so far. Our ways are not his. You know all the scriptures. I don't have to quote them to you. But it is our quest in this life to know God. Paul said that I might know him. And the power. This is no slouch of a Christian saying that I might know him and the power of his resurrection. This is the Apostle Paul, who's been through a few things, that I might be conformed unto his death. I have not accounted myself to attain, but I press toward the mark of the high calling, that if by some way. Well, we thought the Apostle Paul knew him, didn't we? He said, I want to apprehend the one that apprehended me. Yes. Well, along about somewhere around 12 years old, I was in a little Pentecostal church. You would know it in the deep south as the, I don't even remember the name, the Pentecostal Church of God, they're snake handlers. Yeah, God saves anywhere, don't he? He found a little girl. Up in Washington State, they didn't handle snakes up there. But the church I grew up in, they were fighting. They come to church with guns to fight. I'm out of the mountains, you see. You noticed I don't speak good English. I'm from the Star Hill State, Blue Ridge Mountains, just over the holler from Maggie Valley. Sometime go to Maggie Valley if you've never been there. Beautiful, huh? Beautiful. Well, they know how to fight. None of this messing around. backbiting. And they just bring their guns. So Daddy said, no. Family can't go there to church. Down the road, a little Pentecostal church was being built. If it was as big as this section of chairs, it was, you know, it was just a teeny little thing, and Daddy helped him build it. He wasn't crazy about Pentecost, but he liked the pastor, an old man named Brother Manning. And I don't know if I was 10, 8, 12, somewhere in that ballpark. Some evangelist came and was preaching over in that corner. Nobody noticing the child submitting to God. And she wept until her hair was just hanging wet as she didn't say any words. I don't remember any words that transpired during that time. Just submitted to whoever that was. And then I, you know, went on my way and started growing up. But I knew not much about this God. I knew you had to be baptized in water. By the way, is everybody baptized in water? If you're not, raise your hand. Hey, all right. How about the baptism in the Holy Spirit? Anybody here don't have that? Glory to God. Everybody. You ready? Okay. All right. I'm a pusher of those things, so this little girl, she turned something very beautiful and magnificent over to the living God. Now, just remember this. God has a memory. You don't. And you kind of forget things. And then, you know, I just wanted to be worldly. And I wanted boys to like me and all those kind of things, you know. And so God, He was there. I prayed every night. I said the Lord's Prayer every night. And then I met Ben. And there's no doubt God sent Ben to me. My daddy died the 1st of July, and Ben was in my life at the end of July to stay. And me and Mama both needed him, so God sent him. And he was there to stay. Amen. I was 16 and not very submitted to the Lord and didn't know too much about submission. And, you know, that's just the way life was. And so then I got married, and then I started having my babies. And I tell you what, I like being a mama. I've always liked being a mama. I am a mama. Mama through and through, to the core, dyed in wool, mama. Amen. And tonight I'll share with you the power of a mama. But something that happened to me during this time, and Ben was drinking heavy and he wasn't coming home, and I was 17 and 18 years old, and some kind of rebellion from somewhere set in. I think that was, Genesis. I think that was in Genesis there. And, you know, first I had two nervous breakdowns, and after the nervous breakdowns, I got up off the floor out of my tears one day, and something broke again, but it wasn't broke like that had me sitting in the floor crying day after day holding babies. And this is literal, not getting up off the floor, sitting there. I nursed the baby, sitting there crying and weeping, and not knowing what to do or where to go. Instead of turning to God, I rebelled. Not, I didn't know I was rebelling against God. You're too ignorant to know those things. And Mama, she's teaching me everything she knew. But, you know, each generation knows a little more, thank God, and has a little more. But I rose up and I took dominion. I told Ben where he could put it. I said, you do as you please, buddy. I do as I please. And we were living in Oregon. I hated the state of Oregon. I said you couldn't give it to me on a silver platter. I didn't know it wasn't Oregon, that it was me and Ben. I blamed Oregon. And I said, I'm leaving Oregon. I had a little 57 Corvette and two babies, one brand new baby. And I said to Ben, I'm headed for Washington. And he said, well, you can't do that. I said, yeah. You got as long as it takes me to pack a suitcase that'll fit in the Corvette to decide what you're going to do, boy. And he said, give me 2 weeks. I said, you got about 20 minutes, and I am out of here. I am leaving. I was taking Dominion. And from then, for a long, long time, judgmentalness is somewhere down there in mine, but I have a list here. I have a list here I'm going to share with you. And I decided to take Dominion. I got in that Corvette, and thank my God, to this day, my husband got in with me. I left everything. I didn't take anything. I lost everything I ever had, except them two babies and some diapers. And I went to Washington, and I continued to take Dominion. And I began to rule over everything on this earth that was anywhere near close to me. Mm-hmm. And when God came into my life that night in the lighthouse in Chehalis, Washington, I was in the back. That beautiful, beautiful woman, Wanda Stretch. She looked like an angel. She wore a white dress, hair piled high like our sister back here. Ben thought she was an angel. She gave an altar call, and Ben went forward. Right before that altar call, I did something again. I'm not going to tell you the words I said because, again, that's between me and him. But in essence, I said, if there's anything you can do, if you can save my husband, I'm yours. Lock, stock, and barrel. Now, my covenant with him was a little bit more than that. And you would probably come up later and tell me that God does not require what my covenant I made with him that night. But I'll hold that covenant because they're not all there yet. They're still alive. They're not living. They're not gone on to be with the Lord. And after I made that covenant, Ben Buchanan, who in those days could not stand in front of anybody, he could not speak to you hardly. He was so bound by fear of rejection and all those things, got up and walked up in front of the church and knelt down. There was no flashes. There was no eagle swooping down, and he didn't hear the voice of God. He said, I didn't know I was saved. I didn't know what happened. Nothing happened. The testimonies that I've heard all the life didn't happen. And if Luke hadn't have said, I think Ben accepted Christ, I wouldn't have ever thought of that. We only knew that the alcoholic went to no alcohol. We only knew that the boy who was scared spitless of Pentecostal people and had already told me, you will not take my children to that crazy place. Then people are crazy, could not get enough. And figured, why do you use the building 2-3 times a week at the most? The guy who couldn't speak to nobody wanted to preach the gospel every day of his life. And things began to change. I was happy. Hoo-wee. We were happy, 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 happy people. Over here, it was this Polly Buchanan. Happy, happy, happy. Miss Perfect. Mm-hmm. Let me sing. Let me teach the children. Let me. I could just do everything. I was Miss Perfect. Mm-hmm. But you see, there was a few things I couldn't get delivered of. More than a few. For instance, my mouth. Before I got saved, I was so bound. I was like, Ben, maybe that's how we got together. I couldn't talk to anybody. I couldn't do nothing. I was so intimidated. And then I got saved. And the pastor, one of the covenants I made with God was I'd be in his house when the doors was open. I had four babies and I can't do much for you, but I'll be there when the doors are open. And I've kept that covenant. And the other one was, anything you ask me to do, God, I'll do everything in my power to do it. So this beautiful angel walked up and said, I'd like you to lead worship Wednesday night. Well, I hadn't sung out loud in public in front of anybody or even in my home since I was this little girl that tried singing up front in that old Pentecostal church. And my sisters told me, if you ever do that again. Well, that was it. I had four of them telling me. I never sung out loud. I wouldn't sing out loud in junior high or high school because I wouldn't join choir, I mean, or any of that, because somebody would have to hear me sing. I ain't going to do that. But one night in our first church, my friend Pat, when Pat came, she'd always say, before we go to bed, let's pray a little while. That meant an all-night prayer meeting. Never failed. We'd get to praying, and of course, we prayed all night. And God delivered me of fear of rejection and intimidation and all of those things last night. That night healed my back. I had a severe, severe back problem, and that night that was healed and set free and delivered. Hallelujah. That was this Polly. The hallelujah Polly. And so many of us, we get saved. It's a great salvation. Oh, when I received the baptism in the Holy Ghost, I'm telling you, light came and light flooded me. I didn't want to ever leave it again. He came down, the old song, and glory filled my soul. It wasn't like Ben's experience. No, sir. I knew God. I had God. The Holy Spirit was in me, and I was full of life. But then there was this mouth that came into like last night when Glenn said, have something to say, I thought, dear God. I don't know. Have something to say, huh? And so I was delivered, and I began to speak, and then I become a bull in a china shop. Mm-hmm. Yes, sir. That same old thing that was back there, that rebellion that came in way back there. Now I'm born again. I'm saved. Power of the Holy Spirit's living in me. He gave me some gifts. My word. And I, as a woman, have never had to worry about men asking me to speak or making way for me. They always come and say, Polly, would you join us? I don't have to get up front and make a show of myself or nothing, because I had gifts. And they work. Yes, sir. Oh, I like them, too. I like them gifts. The only thing is that great salvation, it for a while, it's like the baby. You get to be the baby. You're cute. And they are into babyhood. And they should be. It's the only time in life ever that you have unconditional love, you know. And I was the baby, and God was blessing me, and He's giving me gifts. But it kind of overshadows the stuff. This Polly over here. This one over here. It kind of... And you think maybe it's all gone. But... God has a different plan than us. And I'm going to show you one of the things here. I got a little illustration for you here. Let me get it ready. You see this little guy here? See my little guy? This is the smiling one. Mm-hmm. This is the... See, this is Polly rebellious boy. This is spirit-filled Polly over here. Okay, hang on. Got to get me a box here. See if I can do this without destroying the whole place. See him going. By the way, this is Humpty Dumpty. Let me get this down here. When I was young, I could do this without trembling all over the place. What happens? Anybody know what happens? See this little guy? This is Humpty Dumpty. Sat on a wall. And Humpty Dumpty, he had a great fall. Now watch him go. Oh, no. Oh, no. He just broke. Oh, he's broke. Look at him. His legs fell off. And he's all broke. Can you see old Humpty? Or that could be Polly sat on a wall. What's your name, honey? Huh?
Danielle.
Danielle sat on a wall. Danielle had a great fall. Now all the king's horses and all the king's men couldn't put Humpty Dumpty back together again. And we go to the king's men. I've been to them. I've been clean across the world to get to God's men and the spiritual powers that be. But they couldn't put old Polly back together again. You know, one of the reasons you don't get your prayers answered and you don't get deliverance, it was never God's will to put you back together the way you are. You see? And the egg, what is the purpose of the egg? Somebody tell me, what's the purpose of an egg? Huh? It's to eat. It's to eat. You make good omelet out of that. You can make a good Mexican omelet out of that. It's to eat. It's to feed somebody. What's the other reason for an egg? Make a chicken. And either way, Humpty Dumpty gets broken, don't he? If he falls off the wall, if he becomes an omelet here, yuck. Or if the little chick is birthed inside, the little chick from the inside breaks that shell. And that's God's will. That's how He created it to be. But we don't know God very well, our Father. And so we are praying and fasting and I mean to tell you, we are on track here. And then we throw maybe a little temper tantrum. Now, we don't call it that. But I think if you think back, you'll hear yourself. You maybe aren't saying it out loud like, God, what are you doing? No. You're too refined for that. Too refined. My friend Pat, she says, don't you be deceived. You're a woman. Whether you're a loud woman or you're a quiet woman, you are a woman. And I am never deceived when they walk in all sweet and pretty. Just because I'm loud and boisterous. Yes. So you see this little illustration. God creates us for something. All of us. Not just this little egg here. But it is God's will the egg be broken. It was His will all the time. And if you don't break it, it is no good for nothing. And it'll just sit there. Finally it got broke. A beautiful egg that one of the young men in church one day was sitting there near Resurrection Sunday. He's an artist, and he just took a pen and he scratched beautiful dogwood flowers on that. It was colored egg, and he gave it to me. And I kept it setting up. It was one of those beautiful things. And the insides of it, I said, but it'll go rotten. He said, no, it'll just waste away. The inside will just waste away. But it's so fragile, if anybody ever touches it, well, one of them babies touched. So even that had to be for a purpose. The purpose was to bless me with that dogwood. Dogwoods are where I come from, and that kid, he didn't even know that. But God knew that, and its purpose was to give me joy and to remember Todd and all those kind of things. So we have a purpose. Now, as we go on here, and I've got to watch the time or we'll be all through with the whole afternoon. We have got to discover some of our purposes. We have got to also be honest and willing to discover what we really need delivered of and what we really need to let God bring us from the image of flesh and blood into the image of God, so that somehow we could rightly take dominion. After I was the worst housekeeper ever been. I was a tomboy, and my daddy, he got me out of everything. He would say, "Now you girls, you make her do the dishes tonight. This child is learning to do nothing. Now she does them dishes, and don't you let her out of it." I didn't have to rebel there. I used to go put my hands in the water, because daddy would come to the back door and say, "Hey, babe, I need you. Girls, you're going to have to do the dishes." And I was out there doing with him the things I love, taking care of the animals and cutting the wood. And I could run a chainsaw, but I could not boil water without burning the pot, you know. And I was a horrible housekeeper, and I didn't want to keep house. I wanted to go logging with Ben and that kind of stuff like I did with my daddy. And after I got saved, I decided that a person, it says in there that a woman to be a keeper at home and to love her husband, submit to her husband, call him Lord. And you know, this thing called rebellion is still way down in here. Still way down in here. And so I decided, all right. Now, it took me a long time to get this done, but my children started saying, "Who does she think she is, General Patton, or just who?" I knew how to take dominion. Get them cleaning that house and ordering things around. But still, I'm filled with the Spirit, and I'm praying every day. And I'm praising God. The praise of God was my lifeline. And you would have thought maybe I was really a real submitted spiritual woman of God if you had just seen me. Didn't have no discernment. But my God, thank Him, has discernment. And He knew that He was giving me everything it took. Every gift, every fruit. That when He decided, "All right, babe, it's time." And the night He said that, I said, "Please don't. I might lose my mind. It's a fragile thing, and you know that. I might lose it." But He knew now that He wanted to make me into His image, not just give me gifts, not just hand me things, but He wanted me to begin to take dominion and to rule, not over you anymore. Not go to the ladies' retreats and get you delivered and on fire for God. Now, it's time. I want the true power of God. If I can, I'll share this vision with you. I always cry. It's an old one, and see, I fall over. Up in the mountains, Cascade Mountains. And if you have never been there, go fly over them sometime. By the way, Ben's a pilot too. And choose a non-cloudy day, okay? There's all the volcanoes and the grandeur of the great Northwest, the majestic Northwest. Well, up there in the Cascade Mountains on the Skagit River is a dam called the Diablo Dam. It's way high in the mountains, way up there, and it comes down narrow. And He showed me a picture of a dam like that. And He wasn't saying words as we speak words. But the Holy Spirit was telling me it was time to build a dam. That the gifts were mine and they were given without repentance. But the giver wanted to be in control. And He didn't want just the Skagit River's beautiful thing. And it's green all along it, and it's just a majestic thing. And the things along the river can get fed and be green and beautiful. But then, you know, you go on over into eastern Washington, it's all dry and barren. And He said, I want greenness there. I want power to go out. Well, the Diablo Dam sends power out all over the Northwest. I want power, maybe to the foreign countries. You've been enjoying the power of God.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.